Bibles with us tonight into the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter number 31. 2 Chronicles chapter number 31. We're so thankful for the great turnout we had yesterday for work day and for everyone who come and participated. And we worked hard. We got a lot accomplished. And it was a very productive day. But we went away tired. I went away wearied, but we went away satisfied that we had seen a change around the property. This belongs to the Lord. You know, some people say, well, this isn't the Lord's house. The Lord don't live here. Well, it is. He owns it. Amen. Amen. He just provided for us to use it. I know he don't per se live here. Amen. He lives in our hearts, but it's still his. Amen. And I think we have an obligation to try to do what we can to make it look nice and to be presentable and everything, because it represents him. But thankful for everyone that did come out, and just got to thinking about what it's like to serve the Lord, what it's like just to put your heart into the work, and got directed to this scripture, 2 Chronicles 31, verse number 20. The Bible says, "And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God." But listen to verse number 21. "And in every work that he began, in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered." Do you catch it? He did it with all his heart. You know, tonight we need some folks that are going to get their whole heart into the Lord's work, their whole heart into serving him, their whole heart into surrendering to what he would have them to do. And everything that he began, everything that he decided to do, the Bible says he did it with all his heart. And because he did it with all his heart, he prospered. You know, sometimes we think of prosperity as only being monetary. We only think of prosperity as being as we got some physical, some tangible item to show it, but prosperity can come with a satisfied heart. Prosperity can come with a well-being, a feeling and a sense of well-being. Prosperity can come by just having that countenance about you that everyone sees that you're satisfied in the Lord. You know, you can be satisfied in the Lord and not have a lot of money. You can be satisfied in the Lord and not have a lot of riches. You can be prosperous and know that you're prospering because you're satisfied in all that you do. I want to just preach to you tonight on this thought. When the Lord has your heart, and you all pray for me. I don't know. The pollen this year is tearing me up. I can't stop coughing. Yesterday I got out there, was working and pulling that brush and stuff sometimes, and I was eating cough drops like they were going out of style because I just start coughing and I can't stop. And it affects me when you try to preach. You want to preach, and you start preaching hard, and the pollen is just in your throat and got you all scratchy, and all you can do is cough, and it just aggravates you. But I want to preach to you just from this thought for a few moments tonight. When the Lord has your heart, if you look in verse number 20, it says, "And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God." You know, Hezekiah's desire, his frame of mind and his heart was set toward doing the things of God. When the Lord has your heart, number one, he has a surrendered heart. Amen. Hezekiah, I don't know why I want to call him Jeremiah. Amen. Hezekiah surrendered his heart to the Lord. And if we go all the way back from the very beginning of his reign, the Bible tells us that he purposed in his heart. It doesn't say that, but he decided and he chose. He made the choice to follow God. His father Ahaz was not a godly man. As a matter of fact, he was so ungodly that they wouldn't even bury him in the kings of the the tomb of the kings where all the other kings were buried. They buried him apart. They buried him separate. But Ahaz didn't have that effect on Hezekiah that caused him to follow in his stead. Hezekiah made a choice. Hezekiah purposed to follow God and to do what was pleasing unto God. It was his desire to worship God and to instill in all of Judah and all of his people and all of his subjects that which was right in the sight of God. His contemporaries and his peers, his contemporary peers, you might say, were evil kings. Amen. They weren't doing those things that were right, those things that were pleasing unto God. In the Bible, 2 Kings, it tells us at the beginning of his reign, in 2 Kings 18, it says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old when he was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense unto it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him and prospered, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not." Now, yeah, this was a great thing for this young man. He was raised by an ungodly father. He was raised in a time when everyone was serving other gods and everyone was worshiping his contemporary. Hoshea was worshiping idols. The Assyrians were worshiping idols. The Egyptians and all those around him were worshiping idols. But he chose and he purposed in his heart to follow God and to do what was pleasing unto God. You know, if you want to prosper in your life, if you want to have that satisfaction in your life, you've got to surrender your life, your heart, and everything about you unto God and do whatsoever it is that God wants you to do. Sometimes it's just in the matter of, I was just talking to, I hope I don't embarrass you, but I was just talking to Autumn and her husband back there, and you know, they're trying to find a church that fits. You know, and I told them, find the church where God wants you. The church that's going to fit is the church where God wants you. Amen? The church that's going to be the one that where you can prosper is the church where God wants you. And it don't matter if it's hunting a church, if it's hunting or searching and seeking for a job within the church. Do the work that God wants you to do. Surrender yourself to Him and let Him have His way in directing you. Not everybody is cut out to be a teacher. Amen? Not everybody is cut out to do some of the things that we do. But there's something for you to do. Maybe you can't teach, but you can clean. Maybe you can't teach, but you're good with finances and you can help Brother Jim. Maybe you can't teach, but you're a good organizer. Sister Joanne, my lands, if you need anything administratively done or clerically done, you can go to her, and let me tell you what, she's right on the ball with it. She knows what she's doing. She did that her whole life. That was her career. That was her livelihood. And I could go to her, and I could find what I needed. But everybody's not cut out to do anything, and everybody's not cut out to do everything, but you're cut out to do something. Amen. And the secret to it is surrendering your heart and your life to God to let Him show you what it is that He wants you to do. Amen. I tell you, we had a great turnout. We had people that do other things but came out to do what? Just back-breaking work, some of it. Grubbing that brush off of that bank out there yesterday was back-breaking work. It was tiring work. It was hard work. It wasn't glamorous work. Amen? But that's what we needed to do. What we do is we surrender ourselves to whatever it is God would have us to do. Amen? I teased the Brooks family And I hope they know I do this in a way that honors them. You know, most people think it's strange that you would dress up in all these costumes. And go, but look at how many hundreds of gospel tracts they have been able to put in people's hands because they dress up as Star Wars characters. Look at how many people they were able to minister to in hospitals. Because, now, I can never see me dressing up. Amen. If God told me to, I would. But he didn't, and I ain't. Amen. But they do. And they go and they let them into the children's wards in the hospital because they cheer up and they uplift the little ones. And they're able to put gospel tracts in their hands. They're able to tell them about Jesus. They're able to do something that makes a tangible difference. There's something for you to do if you'll just surrender yourself unto the Lord and let him show you what it is and where it is and how it is that he wants you to do it. That's where Hezekiah was. Nobody else was doing what he was doing. He was choosing to serve God. He was choosing to honor God. He was choosing to do things the way that God said they should be done when everybody else was doing it their own way, when his own father had done it his own way. His own father had taken away the things of God and replaced them with the things of his own design and his own desires and had rearranged the whole system of worship at the temple. But Hezekiah put it all back in order because he was surrendered unto God. You see, the order of your life and the way you do things will show who you surrendered to. Amen? Hezekiah could prosper. Hezekiah was a faithful servant because he had a surrendered heart. Amen? Not only did he have a surrendered heart, he had a servant's heart. You'll never have a true servant's heart until you have a surrendered heart. Amen. Can I get an amen with that? Amen. You can volunteer for jobs, and I'll tell you how I know. I get people that come to me, I say, I'm looking for somebody to do a particular job. And people will come to me, Pastor, I'll do that job. And I say, okay, you take care of it, and it lasts for about 2 weeks, and then it's not done any longer. You know why? Because they didn't have a surrendered heart. Amen. I asked for somebody one time to do a very unthankful job, an unglorified job, but a job that needed to be done and had to be done regularly. I had an individual come to me and volunteer to do that job and does it faithfully. I never have to worry about it. Every week it's taken care of. I never have to question. And if for some reason that individual is not going to be able to do that job, she asks somebody to make sure that that job gets done. You know why? Because that individual has a surrendered heart. And she's a faithful servant because, I was trying to keep that out of it. So everybody wants to say, who is it? But that individual is a faithful servant because they have a surrendered heart. They're surrendered unto what God wants them to do. And they're willing to do it. And it's a very unglamorous job. It's a very demeaning. Most people think it's demeaning to do this. Well, I'm just doing this little demeaning job. What difference does it make if that's the job that God wants you to do? Amen. If you're willing to do the small things, if you're willing to please him in the small things, then he can use you for greater things. Amen. But how do you know that the small thing that you're not, that you are doing, is not going to somehow have an impact in great things down the road? Amen. See, Hezekiah wasn't worried about all the people around him. The only one he was worried about was pleasing God. Amen. And he knew that if he pleased God, that was all that mattered. Over in back in chapter 29 of 2 Chronicles here, the Bible tells us in verses 18 and 19, and now it was in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Then down verse 18 he says, Then they went into Hezekiah the king and said, "We have cleaned all the house of the Lord and the altar of the burnt offerings and with all the vessels thereof and the showbread table and all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgressions have we prepared and sanctified. And behold, they are before the altar of the Lord." He wanted to repair, restore, and resume worship God's way. And he set himself about doing that. He set himself about... Now, sometimes you can serve and be one that directs. I'm a servant. Amen? That's all I am. You know, some people get their heads all big because they're the pastor. They look at the pastor like you're something different. You know all I am? I'm a servant of God. Amen? And sometimes as a servant, I got to say, "Rick, can you do this? And Sister Mary, will you do this? And brother and sister, would you take care of this? And would you do that?" But it's my heart's desire to see the work of the Lord get done. When I come yesterday to work day, I had a list of things that I wanted to see accomplished. And we got every one of those things on the list done. But when I got here, I looked at Brother Gary and said, "Brother Gary, would you take care trimming the hedges and doing the bushes outside?" And Brother Jim, we had already arranged to get the paint and stuff, and he helped Brother Gary until it warmed up a little bit before he painted the light poles. And I looked at Calvin, I said, "How about heading up, cleaning that brush up on the bank?" And I looked at Jerry and this one and that one, and I'm not trying to leave anybody out, but you know, I started looking, say, "Here, we need to get this done. Head that up and take care of that." And I would help here and I'd help there, or whatever was needed. But we all got in the thing together and we all done what needed to be done because we wanted to do something that was pleasing unto God. Hezekiah's heart was surrendered and he wanted to do the things that pleased God. He wanted to restore things the way that God wanted them to be done. And that took a servant's heart, someone willing to take the bull by the horns and make sure that it got done. He had a desire and he instructed, inspired, and ensured that it was restored to worship according to God's plan. Whenever we choose to be a servant of God, we must surrender ourselves to the will of God, and we must make ourselves available to do what it is that God wants us to do. Amen. Amen. And he prospered. He had a satisfied heart. There in verse 21, it says, "In every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law, and in the commandments to seek the Lord, he did it with all his heart." He had a servant's heart. He had a servant's heart. See, all that he did was from a servant's heart, was in the service of the Lord. Even though he was instructing the priest and what needed to be done and how it needed to be done, he did it because he had a servant's heart. He did it because his desire was to fulfill the will of God and to do what was pleasing unto God. But then we also see this, and prospered. He had a satisfied heart. Amen. A satisfied heart. You know, I wonder today if I could ask each one of you, are you satisfied where you are spiritually? Are you satisfied with what you're doing spiritually? Are you satisfied in the place that God has you? Or are you satisfied in doing what you're doing for the God? If you're satisfied, you'll know it. If you're satisfied, you'll prosper. You know, and we're not talking about this health, wealth, and prosperity nonsense that goes around. We're talking about prospering in the things of the Lord. You know, your heart can prosper in peace. It can prosper in contentment. The Apostle Paul didn't have anything in this world. He didn't have any of the world's treasures. Amen. The Apostle Paul spent a great deal of his time in prison. Spent a great deal of his time being persecuted. Spent a great deal of his time being chased out of towns and chased from one city to the next city. But he said, "I've learned in whatsoever state I find myself therein to be content." Why is that? Because he prospered. He was prospering spiritually. Amen. He was growing spiritually. Maybe his bank account wasn't growing, but his spiritual account sure was. Amen. Maybe his influence among peoples wasn't what everybody else's was, but praise God, it had a great effect on the early church and those early Christians that heard him preach and heard him send the epistles and get to hear the epistles that instructed him in godliness and correction and doctrine and all these things. He got to prosper and grow in their sight. He might not have prospered the way that man thinks that you should prosper, but his prosperity was in the things of God. Amen. Amen. And he was satisfied at the end of his life. He said, I finished my race. I've kept the course. I haven't wavered. I haven't failed. I haven't lost my faith. Finished my race. I've kept the faith. He was ready. He was satisfied. He could go on. Hezekiah was a man that prospered, and God prospered him in the physical things and the temporal things. But he was a man that prospered in the spiritual things as well. Hezekiah was a man that got puffed up and got proud because of what God had blessed him with. But then he had to repent. And when he repented, God blessed him just as much. The Bible says this in 2 Chronicles 32:27 to 30. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor. And he made himself treasuries for silver and for gold and for precious stones and for spices and for shields and for all manner of pleasant jewels. Storehouses also for the increase of corn, wine, and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts and coats for the flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper course of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works. See, he prospered materially, but he prospered in all the things that he set out. He prospered in all his works. You know, God can make your way prosper in everything you do. I told you before, I worked for Amtrak for almost 38 years. And we worked on some very technical equipment. Everything has turned from everything being mechanical to computer operated, computer directed, from the very engines that run all that big old nasty looking equipment to the systems that align track and keep everything in such an order that trains can run 130 miles an hour on it. And there's some times that it just got way beyond me, and I was stumped. And I had no problem with saying, Lord, this is my profession. This is what you called me to do. Show me where my problem is. Show me what it is that's causing this machine not to work right. I can't figure it out. Lord, I need you. And somehow, the Lord always managed to reveal something to me. And I can't say, this sounds like bragging, but it's not bragging. It's just fact. My wife was with me the other day. We were somewhere. I had a good reputation. Lord prospered me. The director of our department comes to church here every now and then. He told me, said, miss you, buddy. Miss you. We were somewhere the other day and got to talking to somebody. And I swear, I'm not saying this to brag. I don't want it to be taken that way whatsoever. But she said, my husband works for Amtrak, and they said, oh, yeah, well, he worked for Amtrak. He said, oh, yeah, where'd you work? I said, well, I run an equipment shop for Amtrak for several years. For the last 30 years I was there, I run an equipment shop in Perryville. Retired. She said, what's your name? I said, well, my name's Dennis Gilbert. I said, but most people don't know me by that. Most people know me by Blade. That's what everybody called me. Blade, I've heard of you. You're some kind of a legend at Amtrak. And that's exactly what she said, wasn't it? You know why? Because God prospered me. And I hope you don't take that as... it wasn't meant to be braggadocious. I made no bones about it at work that I was a Christian. I made no bones about it that I wasn't afraid to ask God for direction and instruction and God to show me how to do things. Amen. And God prospered his way. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works. I left Amtrak satisfied that I had done my job. I've got plaques and I've got commendations and junk hanging all around the house. I won a president's award and all. You know why? Because God prospered me in all my works. I left satisfied that I had left a career that I had left a mark on, but that God had prospered it. Everything I have, I owe to God. Everything I possess, I have because God has allowed me to have it. God prospered my way. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied in my life. I'm satisfied in my family. I'm satisfied. The only thing I'm not satisfied, and I'm going to share my heart with you, is sometimes I wonder, am I effective as a preacher? Sometimes I wonder and think you ought to be better off with another preacher, another pastor, somebody else who would take this church far beyond where I can take it. But I'm satisfied to be here right now because God hasn't given me the liberty to leave. I said, everybody, I'll not be satisfied. Wholly satisfied until I can look back on my life and say I've done what God wanted me to do. I've done it how he wanted me to do it, where he wanted me to do it. My greatest fear is that God's going to call me to an inner city ministry somewhere. I hate cities, but cities are full of people that need the Lord. Amen. I love being one of God's people. I love it that we can read in God's word and we can see that against all odds, a man like Hezekiah, a young man that was raised up in an ungodly home around a bunch of ungodly people. The whole nation of Israel had done rebelled. Now Judah was following after Israel's example, worshiping strange gods and false gods and bringing false gods into God's house. And it just gets worse and worse. But in the midst of all that, there was a young man that stood up and had a surrendered heart, a servant's heart, and a satisfied heart. Amen. The only thing we should never be satisfied with is that enough souls have been saved. Enough lives have been impacted. We should want to keep on doing what God wants us to do, but be satisfied. Why are you doing it and how he wants you to do it? I don't know about you tonight, but I'm thankful for the privilege that God has granted unto us to be the ministers of his gospel. I'm thankful for this little church that sits here alongside the road to be a lighthouse to this community. And I'm going to be honest with you. We go places and people know me. They know about this church. And they're so thankful for this church, being here, this church. And people that I don't even remember, don't even ever recall seeing here. See, we make a difference. Each one of us. We make a difference. We may not know it. We may not ever grasp it until eternity, when we hear of all the lives that we've impacted. But when we have a surrendered heart and a servant's heart, we'll be satisfied in doing what God would want us to do, where He wants us to do it. Thankful for each one of you tonight. Faithful. Look how many people didn't come back to church tonight. You guys are here. Amen. Look at how many people don't go to church at all. But you guys are here. You guys are faithful. I'm thankful for those that love the Lord. And tonight, I don't know. God just laid that message on my heart. Ask yourself this. If God has my heart, is it surrendered? Is it serving? And is it satisfied? That's the way you'll know. That's the way you can be sure. Amen. Stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed.